Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is the third Sunday of Lent. The homily is called Cleansing Our Temples, and the Gospel is taken from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Let's begin. Some of us may feel a sense of shock or discomfort when we hear today's Gospel. Jesus, who we know as loving and merciful, all of a sudden comes storming into the temple with a whip and begins driving out the merchants and the livestock, reprimanding them to get out and stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. So today we're seeing a different side of Jesus. Far from being the meek and mild baby of our Christmas carols, we witness Jesus filled with anger. But not just any anger, righteous anger. See, anger is not always sinful. In fact, God has built the natural emotion of anger into our human nature to help give us the drive and power to overcome obstacles that stand in the way of goodness and justice. This is the function of the emotion of anger. For example, if I see a granny having her purse stolen on the street, it's my anger in the face of injustice that compels me to chase the thief down the road. Now, this is very different from us flying off the handle when someone cuts us off in traffic. Righteous anger is always focused and it is controlled by right reason. And we see this playing out in the gospel today perfectly. So just for a bit of background, I think, it will help us understand why Jesus gets angry in the temple. It's not as if the money changers and the merchants had simply set up shop in the temple without permission. In fact, they were supposed to be there because they were providing an essential service to the people. See, Jewish families from all over the Roman Empire came to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. Each of them would go to the temple to offer a sacrifice. The rich would offer bulls, those with less money would offer a lamb, and the poor would offer turtle doves or pigeons. But they could hardly drag these animals along with them for the entire journey, so they would buy the animals for sacrifice at the site of the temple itself. But in order to buy them, they would have to convert their local currencies into the more pure Tyrian shekel, which had a higher silver content and was the only acceptable coin for use in the temple. And it's in the exchange process where the real trouble would begin. See, the money changers could inflate the exchange rate so that travelers might only get 50 cents on the dollar in temple currency. Then, having a captive audience, the merchants could overcharge for sacrificial animals, thus twice ripping off those who had come merely to fulfill their obligation and give right worship to God. Now, for those who are poor, these tactics could make it a serious financial burden for them to be able to give praise to God, to ask His blessing, to receive His mercy. For example, it might be like me setting up a toll gate in the church car park and charging $100 for all of you to come to Mass on a Sunday. Now, that would essentially exclude those who couldn't afford it. Now, just imagine your anger at me for employing such a tactic. Well, Jesus felt that anger. He burned with righteous indignation at those who would dare to place obstacles between God and those whom He loved. So we should allow ourselves, I think, to be inspired by the passionate action of Jesus in the temple this Lent. The word Lent, as many of you know, means springtime. Therefore, it's the perfect time to do some spring cleaning in the temple of our own hearts, to drive out the obstacles that stand between us and our relationship with God. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians reminds us that we are all baptized into one body of Christ, and our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Each of us are spiritual temples, and sometimes we need Jesus to come in and to cleanse us, to drive away from us the obstacles that we have placed between ourselves and God, and restore us to that right relationship and praise of the Father. So where do we begin? How do we know what obstacles stand in our way in our own spiritual temples? Well, if we start with the first reading, we can recommit ourselves to faithfully following the Ten Commandments. There's this idea in our culture that the Ten Commandments have somehow become irrelevant or too restrictive, but nothing could be further from the truth. Good laws do not restrict, but rather they grant greater freedom. What am I talking about? For example, if all traffic light laws disappeared this instant, while you might be free from getting any fines, I guarantee you that you would not be free to drive through the CBD in the city. It would be total chaos. Number two, in a similar way, I can mash away on a piano keyboard and try to make music. But a musician who's been trained in the art of music, who knows and applies the laws that govern music, they know pitch, melody, rhythm, that person is much more free than I am to play music well. And then a final example from my own life. In the Joseph House of Discernment for Young Men, where I work, we've taken on a very strict Lenten program, a daily routine of extra prayer and journaling, cold showers, regular exercise, no screens outside of work, no entertainment, no sweets, fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. Very, very similar to Exodus 90. Now, while these rules can be tough sometimes, they've revealed to all of us in the program how much of a slave we are to our own cravings and desires without even noticing it. Ironically, by striving to follow these rules, I feel more freedom over my will than ever before, and much closer to God this Lent. Well, the Ten Commandments, they're given to us by God, not to restrict our lives, but by avoiding the things that ensnare us, they guarantee us greater freedom and flourishing. There is no freedom to be found in idolatry, in murder, in theft, in lies or adultery, only pain. In the words of the psalm that we heard today, the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The rule of the Lord is to be trusted. It gives wisdom to the simple. Lent is the time to challenge ourselves, to cleanse out our temple. Not just hoping that things will eventually fix themselves, but asking Jesus to step in, as he does in the gospel, to remove and expel in a serious and radical way all of the infidelities, the sins, the distortions that stand between us and God. I would encourage each of us to spend a little bit of time this week to review the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, even learn them off by heart. And if there's one particular commandment with which we struggle, Lent is the time to invite Jesus in to help us clear out that rubbish, to follow him more closely, and to grant us the grace and the freedom to grow in greater love of God and love of each other. Let's stop for a moment and pray for that grace this week. Lord God, we ask you to send the fire of your Spirit into our lives today. May you inspire us with the same passion of Jesus to drive out of our hearts and lives anything that stands between us. Help us to surrender to the wisdom of your commandments, that we might love and serve you now and into eternity. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to help me spread the word and this Average Shepherd podcast, you can do so by copying this link, pasting it in a message, and sending it to a friend you think might benefit. Thank you. God bless and keep the faith.